Good morning. Welcome. We especially welcome those of you who are watching via social media. You are our honored guests. We invite you to email us or call us if you have questions or comments about what you see and hear today. Over the next 2 weeks, we are trying to return to doing things normally. One Sunday school class started meeting in person today, and we invite any of you who teach classes, any small groups, to start meeting again in person if you would like. Now, we also invite you to do that popular word now, to do hybrid classes. You can add streaming or Zoom to your live events. If you want to do that, you want to talk to Reverend Paige Wolf way ahead of time, and we'll try to get that done. We are not going to go backwards on our social media presentation. We want to have everything we do here on social media. I'd like to have it on our own cable network. That's the wave of the future, is mass communication. And a lot of us are not comfortable with that, but that's the way we'll go and grow. So we're trying to return to normal. Part of that today is we will have an offering, a regular offering taken up by hand. And as we return to normal, please expect glitches, mistakes, awkward times. Our flowers are given in memory of Thomas and Rebecca Pennell by their children and grandchildren. 6 o'clock tonight, Star Worship in the Fellowship Hall will focus on Celtic spirituality, so if you want to come for that. Lifelong learning is going on. Thursday, you see parking lot, lifelong learning at Walford in the parking lot. And I wondered what in the world was that. Why would you be in a parking lot in the middle of June in South Carolina? But that's what I mean. They're going to be meeting and taking some mini excursions, and so you'll see a lot of pedestrians and vehicles more than usual moving around. I think that's what that's about. Let me say a word from our SPRC. Reverend Kim Treese will become your pastor on the first day of July. And the SPRC and Kim are going to be holding small group meetings starting July the 11th so that you can get to know your new pastor. And they'll be held in the social hall, limited to 16 people at a time. So you'll need to call and register when you know you're going to be coming for that. So I do encourage you to participate in that. It's wonderful to get to know folks from your pastor, and this will help him do that quicker, help you. Regarding to our worship, we have a couple of new people in our choir. We're glad you're here. We have oboist Kelly's with us. We thank her for being here. She is going to, at some point in our prelude, she is going to hum or make a note and ask you to then pick that note up and carry it. And this is those of you who know bagpipe music or chanting. It's called a drone. You'll be droning. And we're going to begin with a work by Saint Hildegard of Bingen. Hildegard was best known for her tremendous leadership in the mysticism, medieval mysticism, and a great book of visions by her. But then it became known that Hildegard was the most prolific writer of sacred music in the medieval period. So she's one of our foremothers that we love. Let's worship together.
Let us pray. Shepherd of all, by laying down your life for your flock, you reveal your love for all. Lead us from the place of death to the place of abundant life, that guided by your care for us, we may rightly offer our lives in love for you and our neighbors. Amen. Amen. Our Psalter lesson for today can be found on page 754. I invite you to join me as we read responsively.
117.
137. 137.
The King James Version. The real version. The Holy Word.
So it can be found on page 137. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our joys and concerns. First, our joys. We are certainly thankful for all this rain, and we are thankful that we can, as a healthy people here in this specific community, start reopening here at Central. Dottie Broyles is in remission, and we certainly thank God for that, celebrate that. Pat Hasty continues to make progress and will be home soon. Paige Wolf has returned, like MacArthur himself. Concern and joy, Ann Darby was quite ill, is still quite ill, but she has returned home from the hospital. Pray for her. Pray for Lucy. She will get to do some of Ann's work. And as the treasurer, it falls upon her. Sarah Miller's brothers, a number of you knew him, Howard, he passed away this week, was buried Thursday. Jenny Montgomery's brother-in-law passed away. Keith Jones' wife, Ann, an uncle passed away suddenly, and then 24 hours later, his wife, her aunt, passed away. So they'll be going back to Ohio as soon as church is over. The mass shootings that accumulated this weekend in cities not that far from us, just Winston-Salem, other places, overwhelming. And we pray, I don't know what to tell you to pray other than we move toward a more nonviolent society, but we pray for peace. Let's pray together silently. We thank you, God, that you are our good shepherd and that we can trust you with our lives. We thank you today for your leadership, your sovereign power over us. We thank you for your guidance and your care in each and every day. We thank you that as the psalmist declared, you restore our souls. In that restoration, you give us peace. You bring us hope for today and tomorrow. We thank you for your protection and your strength that surrounds us like a shield. We thank you that no matter how tough it gets, we never have the deepest things to fear. Thank you for your goodness and love that follows after us, even speedily chases us, even when we are unaware. Thank you, God, that you are trustworthy, that you are our refuge and our hope and our strength. We declare that in you alone is rest and peace. We praise you for the assurance that we will dwell in your presence forever. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus, and as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings, lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead the mother sheep. This ends our first reading.
Let's continue our worship with our offerings.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. Hear these words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Today we've read the 23rd Psalm. Someone said it's the most prominent, most loved, most used, most quoted, most written upon, most preached about of any of the Psalms. Millions and millions through the years have memorized the Psalm. If any of you went through a formal catechism, which we don't do anymore, we have confirmation, but there used to be a thing called the Methodist Catechism. Some of you may remember Luther's catechism. There was a short version and a long version, and the Catholic catechism. Anyway, those catechisms, every young person had to memorize the 23rd Psalm. Now, we Methodists don't do that anymore because it might, I don't know, keep them from thinking outside the box or something, but we don't do it. But millions have memorized this psalm and been comforted by it, including you. Let's pray together. From the cowardice that dares not face new truth, from the laziness that is contented with half-truth, from the arrogance that thinks it knows all truth, good Lord, deliver us. Amen. David, or somebody in David's name, wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd." And so we think about those two words, Lord, who is the Lord, and who is the Lord who deserves to be my shepherd. When we say that, we are assuming that we have given shepherdship over to the Lord. Does God have enough credentials to be our shepherd? Whenever I move, as I've done so many times, and I look for a physician, I call the office of somebody who gets recommended to me, and I'll say, "Now, where did Dr. So-and-so go to college? Where'd they go to med school? Where'd they do residency?" Well, normally the lady at the desk is not accustomed to this, but I'll say, "Well, go into his office and look on the wall. I'll wait." Before you stick something up my nose or in my ear, I want to know about your credentials. So it is with the shepherd. David was referring not just to any shepherd, but to the God we used to call Jehovah, the supreme being, the almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe. We talked about that last week in the sermon. It is this being that David calls my shepherd. Now, in ancient Israel, a shepherd's work was often considered among the humblest or lowest of the workers. Kind of like Vicky's story of growing up there in a big university town. She said that what's the most often quoted phrase by a newly minted PhD? You know, do you want fries with that? It's no longer newly minted, it's PhDs under 70. Do you want fries with that? So it was with a shepherd. It was a humble position. And if you were in David's family, of course, David got sent out there because he was the youngest of seven sons. And so he was sent out to do the shepherd's work. It wasn't pleasant. Many of the shepherds had to live with the sheep 24 hours a day. So you had to like camping out, primitive camping. Communion. Some of you like to commune with nature, but you do carry your tent and your battery-powered fan and so forth. They didn't have battery-powered fans in David's day. So it was an humble position, even if you may have owned some of the sheep. And David talks about things that he is not going to lack in this psalm. He says, "I'm not going to lack rest. He makes me lie down in green pastures." There's an interesting book, of course, written by a man who was a shepherd down under. I can't remember whether it was New Zealand or Australia, and he wrote about the life of a shepherd. And David, as a shepherd, as a young boy, would have experienced these things, taking the sheep to a lush field and lying there next to them, taking them to a stream. And so he penned these words, whether he penned them when he was young or later, as he looked back over his life and saw difficulty coming, we don't know. The psalm is often used at funerals. It's appropriate, but it is more appropriate during times of great difficulty, personal struggle. And so it is with the shepherd, the symbol of the shepherd is the staff. Now, if you know what a shepherd does with a staff, you know it's not always gentle. He doesn't beat the sheep, but no doubt he will poke and hit the sheep on occasion if the sheep gets too stubborn or heads down the wrong path. The crook could be used to grab a sheep's leg to stop it from heading for trouble, and no doubt to hit the enemies of the sheep. Not only is the staff mentioned, the rod is mentioned. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Isn't that interesting? Because in other places, we hear what? Spareth the rod and you spoileth the child. So a rod is something with which the sheep could be disciplined. Now, this becomes important as a shepherd because I can tell you through the years, I've sometimes had to step, happily not here at this church, but in other churches, I had to step in between two church members and say, you're being a bully. You've got to stop. And a church member will say, well, what gives you the right to tell me what to say? And I'll say, I'm the shepherd of this flock. I protect you from each other when necessary. I have, in town hall meetings and so forth, gone and defended the rights or the interests of the congregation and get sort of the same question. And I say, I'm the shepherd of the flock. Did it once here. I'm the shepherd of Central. It's my job to protect this group of people. Sometimes that takes a rod and a staff and not sweetness. But the Lord shows provision, this psalm tells us, for his people. And in the provision part, which is much of what this psalm is about, I want to stop and say very clearly, when we say this psalm or read this psalm or hear this psalm, we know that right now, some of God's people who live in Ethiopia are about to experience another great famine. We know about Christians oppressed in other countries. Lots of places that we're aware of. But this verse today, I want you to hear it speaking to you here in Spartanburg. I'm not reading this psalm to people in Ethiopia or Moscow. I'm reading it to you. You say, the Lord is my shepherd. And so there is in here a relationship to the shepherd, words about the provision the shepherd gives. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack rest. I'm going to lie down in green pastures. This gentleman who wrote this book about being a shepherd down under said that shepherds will not go to sleep or rest unless four things are there. One, they're free of fear. Two, they're free of conflict inside the flock. Three, if they have parasites. And four, if they're hungry. They need to be free of these things before they can rest, before they can get out from under their anxieties enough to sleep. And we, like sheep, suffer from all these things, don't we? Fear, friction, pests, temporarily. You here with your shepherd in Spartanburg suffer from these things temporarily. It is the Lord that gives us true release from these anxieties. Jesus once said, remember, I'm constantly talking about the Word of God as challenge, sermon as challenge, but the flip side of that is what Jesus said, come to me all who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, it's interesting to notice that he did not say, "In you will be taken out of your trouble." The psalmist didn't say, "You will be taken out of your trouble." But he is saying, as you've heard that, she could sleep through anything. It promises that we will not lack refreshment, that we're going to be beside the still waters. Getting to the water is not dependent upon the sheep. The shepherd knows where the water is. The shepherd knows where the best water is and takes the sheep there. And our good shepherd said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It is clear, finally Jesus shouts in the temple area, the water that I'm talking about is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever have questions and doubts about what the water is in the Gospels. The water is the Holy Spirit, that essential Spirit of God that lives in you and keeps you alive and moving. The psalmist said, he restores my soul. And it's hard to explain, to give a good description about what that means. God restores my soul. I know in singing our two hymns this morning so far, God restored my soul. He leadeth me. Just hearing the music, singing the songs, God restores our soul in different ways. The turmoil. A sheep is cast down and cast out. It literally, in English, it used to mean cast down had to do only with sheep. If a sheep fell and landed belly up, if it laid there several minutes, the blood would drain out of its legs, and his legs would go to sleep, or her legs would go to sleep, and the sheep couldn't turn over. And it would die unless the shepherd came along and turned the sheep right side up. That's restoration of the life for the sheep. But we so often get out of equilibrium spiritually, as did Peter when he denied Jesus. But clearly, Peter's life shows us that God restored his soul. As we move down into the psalm, we get this phrase, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, it starts out easy. He leads me in the paths of righteousness is not easy. That's not as much fun as lying down in a pasture or beside the still waters. Leading you into righteousness is a tough trip. Sheep need to be led constantly. And we need to remember that as we look at covenants in the Old Testament, and I think even in the New Testament, as shocking as this can be to some people, maybe you, but that is that covenants are conditional. There's only one unconditional covenant that you have in this world, and that's with your mama. Go far enough with the missus or the mister, and the covenant is destroyed. Look at the prophetic cycle in the Old Testament. It was a cycle, wasn't it? Obedience to the covenant, disobedience destruction, repentance, start the covenant again. Now that does not mean that God does not love you unconditionally, but to God, it does mean that God may not lead you unconditionally. That's related to covenant. And part of being shepherded by God assumes that you're an obedient sheep. Now, people don't like being called sheep because we take that to mean a mindless follower, but it doesn't in this context. It means you're an obedient part of the covenant community. And in our gospel lesson, we read about disciples being part of a what word? A flock. Sheep move in flocks. Sheep don't wander around by themselves and live. The right path, seeking righteousness. If you're not seeking righteousness, are you even in the covenant community that's being led by the shepherd? A quote that's often made only partially, I hear over and over. And over and over. How many times? Over and over. Something bad happens and somebody says, all things work together for good. You ever heard that? That's not what the verse says. It says, all things work together for good, comma, for those who what? Love the Lord. And are called according to his purpose. That's a lot different than saying all things work for good, because the percentage of the population who love the Lord and are called according to God's purpose is pretty small. I know that's un-American. People don't like it. Finally, we get to this notion in here of the importance of courage. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, it does not talk about the shepherd's ability and willingness to keep you out of danger. It assumes you're going into the valley of the shadow of death, and you will be scared. But the shepherd will be present to give you courage. Go ahead. Jump in the swimming pool. You can do it. The deep end. You had swimming lessons. Courage. And so I don't fear evil, though I know there will be times when I will be in the midst of evil. It will be all around. And we know that at some point in the valley of the shadow of death, death will win temporarily. The shepherd will be with us to comfort us, but not to always keep us from death. And it's important to know that the valley of the shadow of death and the courage that we need in it is as important in being on the right path as the green pastures and still waters are. The shepherd will not always lead you into green pastures, but sometimes leads you into the valley of the shadow of death, and I contend that's probably more to do with being in the will of God than taking a nap in the clover. Have courage because the shepherd is with you. And then there's a shift in metaphors. If you're an English teacher, you hate this, because so far God is the shepherd, but now God becomes the host of a dinner. You prepare a table, and there's a switch in imagery. So it's pretty clear that maybe this has to do with that bottom rung of Maslow, perhaps it's spiritual, something to eat, maybe spiritual food, who knows. Then it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is another surprise. I remember when I learned this, what a shock. When you as a hyper-individualist read that, you think, well, that means when I go to heaven. That's not what it means. In ancient Israel, the Lord had a house. In Solomon's time on, it was the temple. In David's time, it was the tabernacle. And when David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, he is saying that he's going to hang around the church all of his life. Isn't that un-American? I will dwell in the house of the Lord for the rest of my life. We are a covenant community. As your own Talmage Skinner wrote, there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. There's no such thing as a non-worshiping Christian. They may have a relationship with God, but it's not a Christian relationship. David said, I'm going to a specific place in Jerusalem and dwell with Jehovah. So we're left with the question, do you want God to be your shepherd? God wants to be your shepherd. Are you willing, in a good sense, to be a sheep of God's fold? Let's pray. Comforting, powerful shepherd, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for your protection and provision. Amen. May the Good Shepherd lead you through the valley and lead you to the mountain. Most importantly, may the Good Shepherd lead you every minute of every day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, everybody.